Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service here at the Vines Uniting Church, Woodcroft. Welcome back, Colleen. Do you ever find you have music or songs pop into your head at the most unexpected of times? I do. I was driving here this morning, and literally I had a hymn that I don't know when the last time I sang it was, and I'm thinking probably decades ago. And the first verse of the hymn popped into my head. And this is our starting prayer, I thought, this morning. I'm not going to sing it. God of mercy, God of grace, show the brightness of your face. Shine upon us, Saviour, shine. Fill your church with light divine, and your saving health extend unto earth's remotest end. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks for the gift of life, the gift of the freedom we have to gather in the way that we do to worship and pray and praise and listen to your word being read and preached. Guide us, Lord, in our deliberations this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be open to you and to all that you want to do in our lives individually and collectively as part of your church and in this community. May we be a people, Lord, of hope, of praise, of worship, of wonder, of awe of you and all that you have done for us and in us and through us, and will continue to do so. And for all these things, Lord God, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we give you praise and honor and glory and thanks. Amen. Remain standing.
As you gently call my name.
thinking about that song during the week after we practiced it. And take your seats. And that last line is a line we could hold on to and repeat in any circumstance. Oh, my Saviour, my Lord, my friend. And if you're stuck somewhere at the moment, if you're watching online and you're going through a difficult time, a crisis, whatever that may be, even if there's someone here this morning in the same situation, hold on to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Lord, our friend. That never changes. It's a constant, regardless of what we're going through. David, sorry.
No, it's okay, mate. It's all good. Kids, you want to jump down the front? We've got Sunday school today. And what I thought I'd do is give you a bit of an introduction. Remember, last week we were talking about Jeremiah. Remember the guy who had all the excuses? Like, I came and I said I couldn't do the children's talk because I didn't have my shoes and dog ate my homework and my... So, but eventually Jeremiah figured it out. God wanted him to do some stuff. And he said to the people, oh, sometimes the way you think about life is how you drink water. Let me give you an example. Okay, I'm going to give you a choice. Out of these two bottles, which one are you going to drink? You sure you don't want to drink this one?
Lovely, dirty water.
Yeah, it's not real flash. This is actually Adelaide water. There was a time when this used to be Adelaide water. No, so this is clean, beautiful water. Now, we're going to do a bit. I'm going to do some creative thinking with you. So imagine, so dirty water, what is dirty? If we drink dirty water, it makes us sick. Okay, so sick. All right. If we drink fresh water, that makes us
healthy.
Nice, good job. I like where we're going. Now, do you know sometimes the way we think about things can make us feel sick or healthy? How does that work? What do you reckon?
It's too much of things that make your body feel like you've had too much of it. And when you're healthy, that means that you've ate lots of vegetables.
Very good. So if you eat too much chocolate, it can make you sick. If you eat too much, well, you can never eat too much vegetables, can you? No. You can have as much vegetables as you like. But what happens if, do you think sometimes, and this is a big leap for you guys, I'm not sure if I've leaped too far, but imagine being sick can make us feel, so like the way we think, so if our here's our brain, now let's do some lovely, lovely hair. So this is, and we're thinking, you know, this is our brain is thinking. And sometimes we think sad thoughts. And does that make us feel healthy? Or does it make us feel...
Sick.
Okay, so this is where I'm going with this. Sometimes when we feel sad thoughts, it can make us feel lazy and sad. What about a healthy thought? What would a healthy thought be?
Be feeling excited.
Excited. What other healthy thoughts could you have?
We could have like when something really fun is going to happen, like going to church.
Guys, going to church is really fun. Did you get that bit online?
Happiness.
Yes. So healthy thoughts can be. Now look, I'm going to set the task for the Sunday school teachers today. But sometimes, like, just like drinking water, dirty water can make us sick. Sometimes when we think sad, bad, mad thoughts all the time, it can just make us... Oh. So part of what Jeremiah's trying to say is, hey, people, don't forget to drink the fresh water. Don't forget to think the fresh thoughts. And one of the big fresh thoughts he wanted to say is, God loves you and me. And what we do when we're feeling sad and mad and bad is we have to somehow try and remember. Yeah, healthy thoughts give us life. Life-giving. All right, let me say a prayer and good luck. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for life, for love. We thank you for the basic things that we eat and drink. And we thank you for faith. And we thank you that your love sustains us and gives us life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, get cracking for some Sunday school. I've got some notices too. So notices. Hey, look, a special thank you to Leon and John Mudge for sorting out the kitchen. It's probably about a 60% job. And part of the idea was that, my idea at any rate, was that we do all the work on a Thursday so that when Friday friends come along, they'd have this beautiful big oven ready to use. Now, unfortunately, I forgot my rule of thumb. Whenever you make a decision, you think it's going to take this long, you double it. And so I thought 4 hours on the Thursday would be plenty of time. Fail. I thought, 2 hours before Friday friends to fix that would be plenty of time. Fail. So I apologize, Friday friends. They came up with some plan Bs and they had the kitchen in the creche and the Sunday school room. So good adaptive plan B thinking. But anyway, we're working on chewing away and getting that thing sorted. So if you have a chance to look in the kitchen, you'll see that things have changed. Talk of kitchens and things that are happening is next Saturday morning, 3rd of September, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We've got a extravaganza of food and drinks and craft, baked goodies, and there's even a white elephant stall. And again, Marge says, no clothes. And we have to keep reminding you, that's not you rocking up with no clothes, that's just you not bringing no clothes. Anyway, so no electrical items, no large heavy items. Books are appreciated. If you wouldn't buy it, don't bring it. Goods can be brought to the church during the week. Probably Wednesday morning would be good because there's people around. Marge also says next Saturday morning, if you want to help set up, 8 a.m. Saturday morning. So most of you people up are about 6, aren't you, normally? All right, maybe not. Okay. All right. Dave has an opportunity for you to do some reflection, a special Vines retreat day. So it's really just an opportunity for you to do some personal reflection and growing. And I saw that notice in here somewhere, David. And the date, quiet day, 24th of September. And the church is open all day. Are you expecting people to be here all day or just drop in? Yep, 9:30 to 3:30 is the quiet day. So if you'd like to catch up with David, do so afterwards. And again, it's stuff in this newsletter. All right. Is there anything else I've forgotten that I should be mentioning? I think we're not mentioning the football. None of the teams won on the weekend. The women's team, the Port Power and the Crows, both lost. So we're just talk about the rugby. Talk about tennis. Talk about knitting, stitching, tatting, patching, craft. I'm now waffling. Let's keep going. All right. So we're going to have the team come back up and they're going to share some worship with us as we give to God our offering. And remember that our offering is not just simply our online or money. It's our whole lives. Thanks, team.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down your weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, Mary. Down and drink and live.
Father God, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God and that you give to us in abundance. And so, Lord, we bring these offerings to you now, what Elaine is holding and the offerings that have been given online. And pray, Lord, that you would guide us in the use of what you've given to us. Not just our finances, Lord, but every aspect of who we are and what we have and the building that you've provided for us. So we commit all of those things to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, all. This morning, as we take this time, to pray and give our thoughts to others. And we pray to God that all of our thoughts and intercessions will be carried to those places that need to go. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for the peace that we enjoy in this country. Father, we pray for those people who are suffering from oppression, especially those in Ukraine. In other places of the world, there is also turmoil. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for peace in those countries which are disturbed by war, famine, drought, earthquakes, fires, floods. Give them relief and peace. We pray for the leaders of this country Australia, especially as our Prime Minister and our Premier of this state. Give them wisdom. Father, there are so many things on our hearts regarding friends and family, especially those who are suffering, those who are bereaved, those who are sick, those who are suffering from anxiety, unemployment, and other things that maybe I've forgotten. Lord, we pray for this church, the Vines. We pray for our minister, David Pryor, especially in his family. The leaders of this church, the leaders team, the worship team, pastoral care, community outreach, our treasurer, our administrator. Let us all go give thanks that Colleen returned safely from her travels. Let us pray for the chaplains in our schools and all the things they're subjected to, especially as they minister to our children and their families. And also, we don't always think about it, but the teachers that also have to survive in under certain circumstances. Father, we give thanks for our ongoing success of Friday Friends. And we also look forward to our spring market and what will happen next Saturday. And as we reach out to the community, we pray for the leaders of the Uniting Church, our moderator and our moderator-elect. Give them strength and wisdom. Let us just pause for a moment as we have a silent prayer for those who may be on our heart or for things which we are concerned about. Lord, in this time of prayer for others, there are so many things which we have not mentioned. We ask your blessing, forgiveness, healing. And in the blessed name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, especially with his disciples, in those words which will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is from Jeremiah 2, verses 4 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, "Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable." The priests did not ask, "Where is the Lord?" Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you like to stand?
obviously the warmth has agreed with you all. It's good to see you all here today. It's nice to be a bit warmer, isn't it? I actually had some sun yesterday. I had to put some sunscreen on. That's very scary. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today as your people, both here or online. Lord, we ask for your peace and insight from what it is we listen to and reflect and sing today. In Jesus' name, amen. So part of what we're trying to do is run a series on Jeremiah, and I called it the discipleship flow. So there's two sort of levels. Last week we had Jeremiah's call and his response, but I wanted to sort of say that's a bit like our lives. God calls us and we respond. Today we're picking up exploring the theme of why turn away from the fresh water. That was from the reading, we'll explore a bit more. Now, we know that one of the challenges with the Old Testament is it's so connected to history that sometimes as people 2,500, 600 years distance from that experience, sometimes it's a bit of a hard effort to get into the actual scripture and figure out what they're saying. We did realize that the people of Judah, who were the last part of Israel and the southern kingdom, Jeremiah said, look, when the Babylonians come, surrender. Don't fight them, surrender. And we all know that what everybody did was fight them. And so what happened was Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, the people were captured and taken across to Babylon, and the king was also a captive. So all the things that were significant parts of their faith, they lost. And the question of why did this happen is something that every human being asks. Part of the role of the prophet is to try and help people go from their initial grief and trauma to ask the big question is, okay, if we're in Babylon, does that mean God doesn't exist? Has God given up on his people? Does that mean God no longer loves us? So where is God? And this is really a fundamental question. And it's, if we're honest, a question at times we all ask at some stage in our years. Now, the challenge we have then is if we've got this faith and we've got this experience, they have to mesh. If they don't ask the hard questions of each other, they drift away. A bit like a relationship. If you don't talk to the other person, guess what? It doesn't go far. So, in our relationship with God, we have these experiences that we're trying to understand and connect with and figure out where is God. So, today we're really picking up this theme on the quote from Jeremiah, which said, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out systems for themselves. Systems that leak." What? You can't even dig systems that don't leak. Human beings, what are we doing here? So I like the image today with the... And I did laugh when you all actually recognised this as potentially Adelaide Water from a few decades ago. I remember at Halloran Hill, we turned on the bath and it just came out brown. I looked at Mum, do I have to get into this? I'll get out dirtier than when I got in. But it's fresh. So the prophet is saying, hey, look, there's this wonderful fresh water bubbling over, which is like God for you. And it's there for you to drink. We know in ancient times, like modern times, fresh water is magnificent, life-giving. But the prophet says, instead of drinking the fresh, beautiful water, what'd you choose? You choose the dirty water. You know, it's just... Now, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where any water is good. I'm not sure if you read the paper a couple of weeks ago where a woman and her family, so I think she had a mother, herself, and two of her kids in the car, and they were driving from Queensland. And they're coming down to South Australia. They're in convoy. And somewhere in New South Wales, the car they were following went straight ahead and they went right. And so they found themselves in the middle of, I've got the name for it actually, So Darian Aspinall, 27, travelling with the children from Gooding in Queensland all the way down to Tibooburra. Tibooburra. Tibba, thank you very much. Yeah, look, in the far northwest of New South Wales. And they were utterly bogged. And the only thing they could drink out of, they had one of these empty Coke cans, which Coke bottles. So she found a puddle, put some water in the bottle, and they drank the dirty water. Because they had no other options. So sometimes we just have to drink the dirty water when there's no other options. But the prophet was saying, you've got plenty of options. You've got this fresh water flowing for you. Why choose dirty water? Well, I guess for us the answer is if you've got no water, you choose it. But the idea that Jeremiah was really trying to reinforce to these people is God loves you regardless where you are. So don't turn away from that love. Don't turn away from that fresh, life-giving water and drink some other sort of rubbish. Something that might make you sick. Third slide is stand in shock, heavens, at what you see. Throw up your hands in disbelief. This can't be God's decree. My people have committed a compound sin. They've walked out on me, the fountain of fresh flowing waters, and then dug cisterns. Cisterns that leak. Cisterns that are no better than sieves. Replacing the living water. The prophet was basically saying, look, part of the reason you're in the mess you are is because you've given up on God. You've chased other things. And in those days, the prophet Baal was a fertility cult. And so you went to worship and practice recreating life and fertility with the priests or priestesses who were there. So it was really a debauched way of worshipping God at times, I guess. And what God was saying through the prophet is, you've given up on your relationship with me and you've gone after this bad water. You know, it's very easy, I guess, we talk about the center of our lives. It's very easy to put something else in the center of our lives, isn't it? This next slide is, I'm reading this book and I've had it for months and months and months and months. And I haven't really got past this section because it's really quite profound. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, really talks about the center of our lives. When we have that clear, that shapes all our decision-making. So here we've got the church, money, work, friend, enemy, pleasure, possessions, family, spouse, self. He would say that if you put something on the outside into the middle, it becomes messy. So for example, possessions. If you have possessions as the center of your life, then that shapes every other relationship. Self, spouse, church, money, work, friend, enemy. If you put the spouse in the middle of your life, that shapes every other aspect of your life too. So how do you actually go about making decisions based on what is the best for you or the family or those people you're relating to? I mean, if you put the church first, then that skews everything else. If you put money first, and Jeremiah's saying, people, you've stuck something in the middle, that is meaning the way you see life, experience life, is skewed. So we talk about putting God first, don't we? God in the center. Now, actually, Covey goes on a bit further, and one of the things I think which is really quite helpful, what he says is the central virtue or principle in our life is love. And when we have love as a central point, then we can actually make decisions based around what is best collectively. So we might have a conflict between three or four different things we have to make a decision on, but using our love to shape that, we make the best decision based on love, rather than based on money, based on pleasure, based on what's best for me. Now, Are you with me still? Is that making sense? I just thought that was a really interesting way of looking at what Jeremiah was trying to say. He was saying, people, you've stuck Baal in the middle of your life. You've stuck whatever it is, the desire to be a nation in the middle of your life. And so that has shifted and meant that what would normally be a tight relationship was no more. And what I really found interesting when I was reading that passage from Jeremiah was that there was a real connection with forgetfulness. It was almost like the people of Israel had amnesia. They held all this massive history, but they acted as if something bad happened and it was the first time something bad had happened. There was a great quote that comes up from here. I think I've got it in the next slide. They did not say, "Where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives?" They did not say, "Where is the Lord?" Now, this is where it comes into our journey of faith. Because often when we are struggling, we forget to say, "Where is the Lord?" And we forget to look back on our past history where God was present. We forget. See, for the people of Israel, exile wasn't the first thing they'd gone through. When they were slaves in Egypt, God came and set them free with a mighty hand. And that became a part of their story, their narrative, their thing that they held on to. They gave up their experience of slavery, the dirty water of slavery, and discovered the fresh life-giving connection of God's love for them in the wilderness until they got to the promised land. So this is a massive history. So when they get captured and taken to Babylon 800 years later, surely one of the things they would have done is thought back over their history and remembered God with them as a people. They did not say, "Where is the Lord who brought us from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, the land of deserts and pits?" In theological training, often when people are talking about the Old Testament, they talk about salvation history. The Old Testament is a record of God's dealing with the people of Israel over many years. I can't do the maths. My brain has just gone 1,500 years. And so it's salvation history, it's called. Not self-pity history. Not we're ignored by God history. It's not like we're forgotten history. It's called salvation history for a reason. Because in their retelling, they discover the where. Where is God with us? Now, this is macro stuff. We're going to shrink it in a minute to our lives. But really, the important thing is that Jeremiah was saying, even the priests, the ones who should know better, they were not saying, "Where is God?" Now, they weren't, they'd forgotten too. They had forgotten their own history. In the Old Testament, they think there's the earliest reference to oral tradition in the Old Testament comes from Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. And it talks about the harvest Thanksgiving. Remember the old harvest Thanksgiving services we used to have? I think we had one a few years ago. But what they would do is, first fruits, the people would come to the priest, put their fruits on the temple, and then they would recite this. "A wandering Aramaean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and prosperous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord and the God of our ancestors, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." So that's probably the earliest oral tradition in the Bible. There you go. What is significant about that is it retells the history, salvation history of God's dealing with the people of Israel. So what, I hear you say. Big picture, we've been talking macro, let's shrink it a little bit. Micro. Our lives. How many times does something bad happen and we forget the role that God's played in our lives to get us to the point we are? How many times do we just lose it? Get angry, blame, rant, rave, blah, 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 blah. Now, emotions are really important, and we do need to ask the why question, because that's normal. It's processing. But if we get stuck in the why, it's like drinking dirty water. It just makes us sick. Jeremiah's saying, hey, the life-giving water is what we need to be drawing on. The things that give us life. And in our history, there are things that give us life. Sure, there's lots of stuff that can just make us feel bad and dirty and shamed. But one gives life and one takes it. You have a choice on what you draw upon and what you think upon in your life. And that's really a powerful thing. You know, we're living in a world now where everything online has to be perfect. I feel really sorry for young people. I'm sure Dave's not like this. He takes 100 photos and just puts one up. You know, even I find myself having photos. I have to look at the photo before it gets put online. Oh, I don't like the way I'm looking in it, which means most of my photos don't work. Maybe I just have a bag. But it's this sense of somehow that we're missing out, that somehow if we're not perfect or seen as magnificent or our lives are glowing towers of something or other, then somehow we're not worthy. And online stuff is just horrendous. And they did a survey for young people today, and 50% of them want to be influencers, you know, like on TikTok, or where their lives are followed by hundreds of thousands of people online. Just like 50% of people. What happened to doctors and nurses? Lawyers. You know what I mean? Cabinet makers? Anybody? So it's just like there is a real sense in which people in our world today are struggling to find that core center of how we live. And we know that when things get out of whack, it really... we know more money doesn't make us happy. We know we need some money, but the richer we get and the more we focus on riches, the more skewed that can become. The same with anything. Pleasure, sex, whatever it might be that we focus on can be the thing that really just immerses us in a whole pile of things. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt? The priest did not say, where is the Lord? I remember when I was 19 or 20 years old, when I got to the point of thinking, where am I going in life? What am I doing? And when I was sitting in a car at 12 o'clock at night with one of my mates, sitting at the red stoplights, we just said, man, there must be more to life than this. And I remembered back, when I was younger, there was God. So I'm here today because I remembered backwards and remembered God. God's love for me. So Jeremiah is basically saying, people, hey, out of all the stuff you remember in life, remember the life-giving stuff that gives you life and hope. Don't drink that dirty water. So I'm going to invite you to think for a moment. What is one thing you've connected with today as we've considered? We've sung lots of different songs, reflecting on a whole pile of different stuff. What is one thing you're taking home this morning? If you want to turn to the person next to you and talk, feel free. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to sit and have you come into our lives again in our thinking and reflecting and processing. I pray that you continue to stir us to life. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said,
let's stand and sing.
into your glorious night, that we may sing the wonders of the risen Christ. May our every breath retell the grace that broke into our strife with boundless love and deepest joy.
Remember, as you go into this week, the words of Jeremiah. What water are you going to drink this week? Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
May the peoples praise you. May the nations.